Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Okay, there we go. I figured it out after 9 years.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to another experience of Me and Paranormal You. This is your buddy, Ryan Singer. Today, I am, as part of my deep dive into Dayton, where I grew up, since I've been in the Midwest for a little while, really trying to get out to the spots of my homeland. Nice. While I'm in town. I'm at the Amber Rose Catering and Restaurant with Joe Castellano, the owner and proprietor. Thanks for joining me on the show today, Joe.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we have been going down memory lane, yeah. So to speak, over here. Like, yeah. Not a full-on glory days conversation, but... also grew up in the area, also went to, also was a Falcon.
Yep, BG, man.
Yeah, I mean, BG was, for those who are uninitiated, Bowling Green State University up in Bowling Green, Ohio, just south of Toledo, is right off Interstate 75. So it's a straight shot to Windsor, Canada, where go because you only had to be 19 to drink.
Yep.
Okay, that's the that is the nod of familiarity. And you could gamble,
yep.
and other things. What a great experience going to college was up in that area, and it's a tiny little farm town that, you know, I don't know. 10 times the town grows exponentially when school is in session.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
yeah.
I think there was something like 20,000 students back then when I was there.
Yeah, I think now it's 15 or 16,000 undergrads and another, 5 or 6,000 graduates, something like that, I would guess. Yeah, over 20,000.
Yeah, I'm 46. I might just go to grad school there just so I can work at. I worked at Trotter's Tavern, which was
nice.
Did you ever go in there for a brown jug steak?
Yes.
Yeah, I was a cook there for a few years. That's how I fed myself.
Nice.
And they would let me drag out an amplifier after I was done cooking and cleaning, put it right in front of that front door, which is really the only way out.
Yeah.
And plug in a microphone in my greasy, dirty white t-shirt and jeans and tell the rudimentary beginnings of what would become stand-up comedy someday.
Nice.
Just assaulting people while they're eating their dinners.
Yeah, very nice.
Have you had comedy shows here?
Not here, no. Every once in a while we'll have someone play a little live music, originals, and that's pretty few and far between, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember we were talking about a mutual friend, Lisa Grigsby.
Yeah.
Because I remember... last year, a little over a year ago, I filmed a comedy special down the road in Middletown, in the Post Town area, at this abandoned, like this old school, Post Town Elementary School, which is super haunted. And before we decided on Post Town, I was talking with Lisa before that. We were trying to figure out what's a good haunted location to film the comedy special. And actually, this place, I believe, was in the conversation initially. And in Post Town allowed us to just have pretty much 24/7 unfettered access to an investigation because I was doing a documentary series before the comedy tape.
Sure.
Anyway, but this place is legendary. Whenever ghost stories or haunted tales come up about Dayton, Ohio, Amber Rose is never far away from that conversation.
Yep.
It's always at the tip of the tongue for a lot of people. I did notice there was the Dayton Ghost Book downstairs.
Yep.
And there's lots of groups that come through here.
Yep.
And I'm curious, I don't know the specifics necessarily, but when you do, like, people are allowed in here overnight. Do you do the overnight things? Or
do you usually
put a cap on it?
Yeah, some groups, if they're, paranormal investigators and they check certain boxes, they have, some insurance and are legit, we'll let them do the overnight thing. But also from a business perspective, I have to, make sure they're legit. And if somebody falls down the stairs in the dark, I'm not going to get sued that they're covered.
That is a thing that I've never considered.
Yeah.
Because, because it's not like it's just your house.
No. Or in a or an old building, you know, but it's an active business. And
so much of what the investigator is doing is in the dark.
Yeah, it's in the dark, you know.
Just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
That's one thing I always consider. We get a lot of groups reaching out. And the other thing is we're an active business. I mean, it's... you know, it's you've got to cook and clean.
Right,
I mean, you've got to. A lot of times, you know, folks want to come on the weekends, and well, you can't get in here till midnight or one to start. It's logistically, it can be a challenge too. So
I'm wondering if you have kind of a steady flow all year round, or if the fall really kicks things up a notch for you, October-ish.
Yeah, that really. People are really interested. You know, we start getting emails and calls in August and September. People want to come ghost hunt. And we have done some public events. You know, we do a ghost dinner every year now for about the last 5 or 6 years, and people will share evidence and stories and pictures. We have a group of ladies, parasense, who have come in multiple times, and they come in throughout the year and continue to do investigations and gather evidence, and we'll have a dinner and they'll share those experiences. And in the past, we haven't done it since COVID, but we'll have smaller groups and we'll lead tours through the building and let them spend time, you know, in the basement. We have a basement here that's still, parts of it are still dirt floors, never finished from when the building was built in early 1900s. So we'll let them spend some time down there and investigate in the dark, you know, and see what they can get. And some people have gotten evidence, and absolutely.
And then you've been running this joint since?
Yeah, I've been here since 98.
98.
So, and the restaurant opened.
So, right out of, you were a little bit before me at BG, so not long after, though, that you were out of BG.
Yeah, I got out of BG around 93 and was in the business, and Eleanor Sluzis, our founder, you know, approached me about, you know, coming on and taking over for her. She was getting ready to retire. So right place, right time. You know, I knew her family connection, knew her, you know, and I was in the business. So it just worked out, and I'm still here. So
yeah, this this place definitely is, or you have intimate knowledge of this place now.
Yeah.
I mean, after all this time, it's like this place is home away from home for sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I spent a lot of time here.
Yeah, and it's...
Yeah.
When did the paranormal group start showing up?
Staff, you know, would tell stories, and Eleanor filled me in right away of what was going on.
This is like part of your, like, welcome, part of your onboarding, as they
pretty
would call
much, it. Pretty much. And, actually had my first experience the first night I was here.
Are you serious?
Yeah. First night I was here. I mean, I don't, you know, it was different. So, you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear that story.
Yeah.
Also real quick. It's just natural, but when you do this, it reverberates through.
Gotcha.
But, okay. So, first night.
Yeah, first night. So it was like, I think it was a Saturday night. It was in February because it was cold. And we had locked up, you know, I had locked up. The staff was done. And the office is here on the second floor. It's just right on this other side of this wall here. And I was, you know, finishing the end of the night paperwork and getting ready to go. Turn the light off, and right behind us here off this little room is a bathroom. And when you turn that, when that bathroom light is on, there's a bathroom fan that runs. And it was loud. It was like old. It needed to be replaced. And so I came out of the office, and, you know, the fan wasn't on. I knew it wasn't on because it was so obnoxiously loud, right? So I go downstairs, turn the light off. Well, I'm like, oh, I forgot my coat. Left my coat upstairs. So I start up the stairs, and I can hear that fan running. I get to the top of the stairs, and the light's on, and that bathroom fan's running. So I just went over and clicked it off. Left my coat in the office. I didn't even, I got like unlocked the door and stuff.
Did you have that feeling come
yeah,
over?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, and I'm just like, I guess the stories I'm hearing are something's to that. I'd never really had an experience like that before, and out the door I went. So
that's really interesting. Yeah. That it is like, you know, you have the physical world welcoming you, like, you know, everyone that works here. And then you have the other people who, quote unquote, work here.
Right.
Also kind of giving you a welcome on your first day. That's right. Really, that's yeah. Really fascinating.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the belief system going in.
Sure.
Never had any experiences as a kid or anything like that?
You know, no, nothing that stands out. Not to say I didn't believe in ghosts or spirits.
I was going to say, you don't strike me as one of those, like, you know, I never believed in all this bullshit before I got here. You don't strike me as like a hardliner.
No. Like I'm all, as a kid growing up, always fascinated by like the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot, that kind of stuff. Still am today, you know, but never really got into the spirit thing. Grew up Catholic family, still Catholic, so like Ouija boards were like, you know, you can't do that, you know, no seances, those are bad, you know. Growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know, there was some hysteria in the country about, you know, the occult and all that.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That was a big, you know, no, don't go down that path with the, you know, the Catholic parochial school and high school, you know. So never really thought about it. You know, up at BG, we have that cemetery right in the middle of campus, you know, and so you'd always hear stories
about that.
Yeah. The cemetery right in the middle of campus. Yeah. I mean, who didn't go in there and drink a beer and look for a ghost, you know? I mean, so
you
got to go up there and check that out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, but, you know, never any, you know, and some of it could be, you know, just not in tune to pick anything up and nothing so obvious, you know.
Well, I do think when it comes to paranormal action that it is one of these things where as soon as the universe knows you're looking for it or you're really, you have a heightened interest in it all of a sudden or for whatever reason, I think it's kind of one of those things where the floodgates open.
Yeah.
Potentially. And
sure.
And it could be one of those things where, like, you know, you talk about like a Volkswagen Beetle with people, and then the next, you know, you're seeing them on the street everywhere.
Right.
So it's just maybe, you know, we're not paying attention because we're not looking for it. Right?
No.
And sometimes they will startle us out of not looking for it. And that can be jarring, I think. You know, technically, I think they're called spontaneous paranormal experiences. And when people have those, it's usually kind of like, you know, Saul getting knocked off his horse, or I can't remember what he changed his name to, but it's one of those lightning strike moments for a lot of people. And so you come here, you start working, or did you come from a big family?
Not particularly. I have a older sister and a younger brother.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so just the opposite of me. I had an older brother, younger sister. And it feels like, you know, the trifecta of kids was like a very big, like a lot of Catholic families just had the trio.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is the prohibitive cost of Catholic schooling.
Yeah, could be.
It's like, it's like we can afford to put three of these classes through Catholic, you know, grade school, high school, but that's it. You know, like, do they all still live in town, or do they come through here, or part of the business?
They've all been here. They're not in town. My younger brother lives in Columbus, and my older sister actually is in Perrysburg, just north of BG. So she's up there. So, but mom and dad are still here, and they come down a lot. And my brother used to come in a lot when he was in town. So. Yeah,
it's one of those things where oftentimes when people around us find out about some kind of paranormal connection, and in this case, like, you know, working here, that's like a famously haunted place.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that will like bring out stories from people we know
mm-hmm.
that they've never told us before. Like, oh, did you? you know what? Did you know that back blah 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 blah? And then sometimes those stories like involve us, and we're just like, wait, how have we never talked about this?
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
I'm curious. Once you started working here, and then the paranormal things and the stories start, you know, and this place starts to become more well known in the last 15 years, 20 years or whatever, probably since you worked here, like publicly, as far as, you know, and I think with the advent of TV shows and things like that, right? And paranormal groups popping up. Did that bring out a lot of paranormal? Do you get a lot of people close to you wanting to be like, well, oh, let me tell you the story about.
Yeah, I get a lot of people, family, friends, who ask me to tell stories, and then they may share something. We get a lot of people who come in here for, you know, to dine, and they'll tell stories, and they want to hear stories, and you know, see if we have pictures or things like that, and we're happy to share that, you know. But yeah, a lot of people do seek that out. Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if, I mean, because obviously there are going to be, you know, a percentage of people who probably come here just to eat and don't realize it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and then it's funny when they'll have an experience, because sometimes that happens.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I've had, I had a cousin in town years ago, not a believer in anything, you know, just, and we were talking about it, and I don't believe that, you know. And we were sitting in the other room having dinner, big long table. There was probably 20 or 30 of us, extended family. And we used to have these candles that would sit on the table, and it had like a pretty heavy glass top, you know. And the top, you know, just went up right in front of her, just went up and slammed down on the table. And
wow,
I think that might have changed her perspective.
That's like one of those spontaneous,
exactly,
lightning strikes.
Yes, you know, we things move, you know, not a lot, but yeah, there's been a lot of experiences people have had. I've probably forgotten more than I know.
Yeah,
you know, because we'll staff sometimes we're sitting around and, you know, start to tell stories, and someone will tell a story. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, you know. But yeah, there's it's something almost, going on.
It strikes me that, and not to say that it's not similar in other places, because I'm sure it is, but there's like this personality attribute of like the phenomena or whatever it is, the energy or something that's happening here, where it's like when I hear stories like that, it just kind of strikes me of like, not the petulant child, but like the person who's like tired of like people like not believing.
Not
in them.
Believing, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'll show you.
Right.
Oh, you don't believe?
Right.
Watch this with the candle.
Right. Right.
You know, it's almost it's like this real kind of fun, kind of snarky energy, almost to a certain degree of like, I'll show you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on up.
You know, through the years, I've never really been scared here. I don't feel like it's that kind of energy. And me personally, I think there are spirits, whatever entities you want to call them, that pass through, and some that are probably just stay. I had years ago, we had a group come through, and they brought a medium with them. He was a retired Cincinnati police officer or Hamilton County sheriff or something, retired. And they came in on a Sunday. We're closed on Sundays. They came in, and they just wanted to do a daytime investigation. They might have stayed a little bit the night, but they, you know, did all kinds of stuff and filmed. And at the end, and he really didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to have any. He didn't want to hear anything. He didn't want to know anything. He didn't want to talk to me. But finally, at the end, I kind of hung out with him that day. It was early on when, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. And now I just let people go. You know, if they got the proper paperwork. But I was talking to him. I said, you know, so what? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, you. There's a lot going on here. And I said, well, well, tell him, I said, the main in the spirit is, we call her Chicky. It's Genevieve Chesapolsky. I said, did you sense Chicky? He said, absolutely. He goes, she was concerned I was going to make her leave. Mm. He goes, she likes being here. She likes all the activity. And she was concerned that I was going to make her leave. And I said, I don't do that. He goes, sometimes, you know, I'll help them cross over if they want to. He goes, but if they don't want to, that's fine with me. I said, well, I'm glad that she likes it here and she feels welcome enough to stay, because that's the last thing I want to do is, you know. Yeah. So I'm always real cautious when groups come in. I say, hey, now listen, you know, we don't want to disrupt anything. We don't want to attract anything here, but, you know, just do your investigation and leave it at that.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Real quick, let's take a quick pause. Yep. We're going to throw in some commercials. If you want to listen to the interviews ad-free, you can go to patreon.com/Ryan Singer. $3 a month, all ad-free. And you also usually, almost always, get them early. So patreon.com/Ryan Singer for free, ad-free. I guess not free. It's the opposite of free when I'm telling you to pay for it.
Ad-free.
And we're back. I was going to ask you about the ground rules.
Yeah.
Maybe is a good way to say it. I know a lot of places will have just kind of a rough guideline of like, excuse me, of like, okay, we don't want you doing this. I know, like, for example, Post Town Elementary School, I'm pretty sure they don't want you doing, they don't want, because I love a Ouija board.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I like really deep dove about the Ouija board, because it was in The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And Ouija boards used to be one of the most popular like party game things that people would do when they'd have people over. And then the movie The Exorcist came out and everything changed. And then the hysteria you're talking about, the occult panic. But I know Post Town has like no Ouija boards in here.
Yeah.
Which I was like a little disappointed about.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how cool would it be to do a Ouija board in this big old abandoned school?
Yeah.
But it's fine. There's so much other stuff to do.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's not that hard to be respectful of a location's rules and guidelines.
Yeah.
Because they are providing you an incredible opportunity.
Sure.
To investigate a place that has high activity, which is not everywhere. So I'm curious, do you have like a loose guideline here? Like, we don't want you doing this or that, or?
Sure, yeah. And it probably stems from my upbringing, but no seances. I don't want any kind of seance, and I don't want, you know, any kind of try to opening portals or anything like that. That's kind of where
we're
at.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. I don't want anything like that. Ouija boards, you know, I hadn't really thought about it. I don't know if people have used them here or not.
Well, I guess they kind of are a seance tool to a certain degree.
So, but I don't know how they.
I've never been on an investigation where someone's like, hey, let's bring out the Ouija board. It's usually me.
Yeah.
And most people are like not interested.
Sure.
And also it's, I don't know, the Ouija board sometimes kind of. It, you know, you have to have light, and you have to have all the, you have someone taking notes. And anyway, the idea of doing seances and opening portals.
Yeah, that's the one rule.
Those are big ones.
Yeah, I don't, because personal beliefs, I do believe in there's good and evil, and I wouldn't want to attract any of the wrong type of thing here.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, it is interesting. I mean, I know paranormal teams every once in a while have like a hardcore skeptic on the team who's there, you know, looking for evidence to be proven wrong. And I think that is valuable in some cases. And, you know, people are allowed to believe whatever they want. But if you do believe in this stuff and you do believe in the power of these things to move physical objects in our space, you have to take that seriously to a certain degree. Like if a candle can be a heavy glass thing can be lifted off. My throat is not as heavy as a candle. Like pressing my throat closed is probably the easiest example I can think of. Or like maybe like poking my eye mm-hmm. or scratching my skin. So I think if you do believe in this stuff, it makes sense yeah. to not, I'm not a provoker. I don't enjoy yeah. the let's go in there and provoke to get a response.
Sure.
Which a lot of people say is very effective. And sure, I guess, you know, it's kind of like the internet with trolls, right?
Yeah.
Like people will be a troll or say negative things because it's so much more likely to elicit a response from someone who under normal circumstances would never reply to them.
Right.
Right. And right. they understand that it gets the response. So it's almost like trolling spirit.
Sure.
Right. To yeah. a certain degree.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, here you really don't need to rile it up. You know, I mean, it's funny you mentioned being scratched, and that just reminded me of a just not too long ago. My niece works here still, but used to work a lot more. And one night she felt something on her back, and the girl's pulled up her shirt, and she had been scratched.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I totally forgot about that, but yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So
I'm curious if it looked like kind of like a human scratch. Or
yeah, it did look like a nail scratch.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's fast. I mean, like it's almost like this abundance of activity becomes a baseline, and therefore things don't stand out.
Absolutely.
You know, if you had one thing happen per year,
right? But
everybody would remember everything that happened each
right.
year, right?
Right. But it's. I mean, I don't want to say I'm desensitized to it, but, to some extent I am because, especially I'm here, maybe early in the morning or late at night or an off day when we're not open alone and, you know, you catch something out of the corner of your eye or I'll hear someone walking up the back. It's an old building, you know, stairs creak, the floor creaks. I'll hear someone, you know, I'll be downstairs and hear somebody walking around up here. And I'll come out and think, well, maybe, you know, we have a cleaning guy. Maybe he came in the back door and I didn't notice. Or maybe the accountant popped in to do some work. I'll go see if somebody's up here. And there's nobody here. You know, because it's a big building. You could be in the basement. Somebody could come in the back door and you would never, know if they have a key. And, you know, you would just never know. And so you hear something, you go look, and now there's nobody here. Well, who made that noise? You know, I mean, it was footsteps. You know, I've been in the office. We have two desks in there, two adding machines, and I'll be sitting in there doing work on the computer, and the other adding machine, you know, it prints, you know, it'll just start going off. And you're just like, okay, you know, thanks, Chicky. You know,
funny.
But I mean, you can't stop your day.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, you can't stop your day. Used to be a pain. She hasn't done it, or he or whoever hasn't done it in a while, but they would knock we moved the mayonnaise jars. We had them kind of up on a shelf, big, you know, 5 gallon things of mayonnaise, and it would just fly off the shelf. And you're like, really? We got to stop and clean this up? Now they're on a low. Now they're real low. I'll show you. They're real low, you know? So it's like, we'll figure it out, you know?
If anyone's worked in the restaurant industry for any amount of time, you know exactly what we're talking about. Those huge
gallon jars of mayonnaise.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Yeah, I mean, they would just fly, you know. And they're like, no one in that part of the kitchen. And you're like, really?
Somebody doesn't like mayonnaise.
Well, or they just want you to know they're here.
Yeah.
You know, I've had staff who refused to come up here to this floor by themselves. I've had staff who refused to go in the basement by themselves. I've had delivery drivers say, I'm not taking stuff down there anymore. I got pushed last time I was down there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because we think there is, the theory is there's a male spirit who stays downstairs in the basement and just, you know. They even have a recording somewhere where it says, leave the light on, please, or please leave the light on in the basement, you know? So.
That's interesting, to think of a ghost who doesn't want to be in the dark.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that's like the funny part of it for me. But, and also, like, a male energy haunting the basement reminds me of, like, you know, every comedian I knew in their 20s. Like, hey, well, I'm broke. I need to go back to my parents' basement.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess originally the bill, you know, there was originally a general store, and the family lived in the attic, which used to, you know, used to be living space, full, you know, big old house, general store, and there was a fire in the attic in '89, right before the restaurant opened. They were renovating, and you know, they had a fire, and so the attic now is just mechanical, you know, it was rebuilt. But at the getting back to when it was a general store, I guess there was like a men's club in the basement, and women weren't welcome, weren't really allowed to go down there. And some of the investigators who've been in, you know, feel that when they're down there, that if they're female, like, you know,
kind of an unwelcoming
feeling to get to go. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this, because the place definitely has a layered, rich history.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the idea of coming and going and the transient nature of the energy and that you kind of talked about previously, and now being a restaurant, whereas a place where people commune, people come together to, you know, oftentimes people who haven't seen each other in a while, whether it's family in town or first dates.
Yeah.
There's like really interesting energy that happens in restaurants.
Yeah.
And in bars and places like that. And a general store also, just people all day long,
all day
in
long.
And out, in and out, in and out. And, you know, which kind of reminds me of like the liminal nature of like the in-between spaces, right? Where someone might be occupying, like someone like Chicky, who doesn't want to go,
right,
you know, is enjoying their time here still.
Yeah.
And which could be like, wow, it's been like 20 years. You still want to hear? But it could just be a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
To
what,
someone
is
like
there
that.
Time at the, in the beyond? Is it, what is time?
I highly doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how is that
quantified?
I mean,
some people would say there's not time here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you go down that rabbit hole if you want, you know, that's beyond me. You're going to need another guest, you know? But, you know, getting back to Chicky, Eleanor Sluzis, who founded the restaurant, she had grown up in the neighborhood, so she remembers when it was a general store and it was a deli, and it was vacant when she you know, took over and wanted to make the restaurant. And she had someone investigate it. She had a meeting, and then when she first got here, I think shortly after she opened, or I don't know the time frame exactly, I could be wrong. After, you know, the woman, Ruby Hare, I think her name was, did her investigation, her piece, Eleanor was talking to him, and she said, you know, I kept getting my thumb pulled on, you know, I kept feeling tightness around my thumb, and Eleanor said, well, I don't know, I have no idea what that could be, you know, because Eleanor had always heard stories about the haunting. And it was a few weeks later, Eleanor run into a member of the family, the Czesopolsky family, who built the and ran and lived here in the general store, ran into, I don't know if it was a niece or a cousin or something. And Eleanor was relating the story and said, you know, and she felt, you know, pressure on her thumb. And the relative said, oh, that's Chicky. She goes, Dad used to take Chicky for a walk, and she always used to hold on to his thumb. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So. So I think that was one of the first stories Eleanor ever shared with me, you know, that, hey, there's, you know, you might see some stuff or feel some stuff. And, well, it happened the first night, and, you know, it still happens now.
Now, so. Is it part of your onboarding now when you when you have new hires come in?
Yeah, you know, we do.
That's if they don't know already.
Yeah, if they don't know already. A lot of the folks who work here are, you know, friends or family of employees and pretty known, but, you know, part of our orientation, our handbook, you know, our version of the handbook, because there's only one that's ever been written in the restaurant industry. The rest are all just copied and tweaked, but we have a history section, and I talk about the general store, because we will get customers wanting to know about the history. So we go through that, and then at that point, I'll share with them the ghost and show them a copy of the book if they're interested in reading a little bit more of the history. So, yeah, we try to let them know. You know, we don't want to freak anybody out. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So because they will, more than likely, they could have an experience, you know, have something happen that's maybe not readily explainable, you know. So, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out the thread on the fly here. But, like, you know, we were talking about Lisa, Grigsby, and you know, used to run and own Joker's Comedy Club, or Comedy Cafe, technically.
That's right.
You know, as someone who waited tables there and started, first place I ever did stand-up comedy on stage was at Joker's.
Nice.
But and then like restaurants, bars, theaters, especially, which I guess comedy clubs kind of fall under that umbrella, but almost to a person, every one of these people who works in a place like that, who has spent a lot of time in a place like that, they are all just matter-of-factly, don't even ask me if ghosts are real. I mean, because we all know they are, right? Like, can we move on past that? Like, let's we can. You were talking about like being desensitized, and you said it's not the right word, and I think you're right.
Yeah,
because you know, it is my thoughts and hopes, I suppose, that at some point in the future, whether it's 15 years from now, 30 years from now, whatever, this idea of it being paranormal is just normal, right?
Right.
And I think what you're talking about is that transition that potentially the rest of the world makes, but they're just lagging a little bit behind.
Sure.
When it comes to the understanding of, you know, there's no real finality to death.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out why it's these places, right? And the people who maybe find themselves drawn to the industry that happens in these places.
Yeah.
You know, because I do think it's a type of personality and a type of person who finds themselves in the restaurant business, who finds themselves in the entertainment business. And I think they're similar.
Sure.
Whether it's, you know, people who, I guess, enjoy the night as well.
Yeah.
Maybe don't have the conventional hours. I don't know.
We're putting on a performance too.
Right.
Every night we're open, it's, you know, to some extent it's a performance. You know, it's entertainment. I mean, yes, you're dining, but
That's a great way to
phrase it. It's still a performance. We have to perform, you know, your servers are playing a role, the hostess plays a role, the bartender plays a role. You know, it's showtime. You know, how many times have, you know, you had a alley rally or whatever you want to call it, pre-shift meeting, and, you know, hey, it's showtime. You know, let's go. It's go time, you know. So to some extent, it's performance.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
You know, we have critics and, reviews and Google and all that.
That's funny. Like,
you know.
Like two of the, I mean, before Yelp and all this other, before everyone thought they were,
right,
a critic, the restaurant and like movies and plays.
Yeah,
those were like, you were either a food critic or you were a movie critic.
Yeah, and that carried weight.
Yeah,
a lot of weight. Yeah, I still remember the first time I was here, and Ann Heller, who was the Dayton Daily News food critic for a year, she was in for lunch, and I was like, oh my God, you know what. You know, what do we do? And so, you know, I went over and, you know, and I didn't want to be like, hey, we know who you are. And but I talked to her. She says, oh, honey, I just came for lunch. I'm not writing for you. She goes, I just enjoy having lunch here. So that was pretty
good.
That made me feel really good.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you know, like anything, if you're doing it right, you don't have to worry about those things,
right.
You know. Not everyone, you're not going to hit a home run. I'm not going to say we don't have, you know, our share of bad experiences, but, you know, you just try to do the best you can every day. And, you know, most days you hope you do well for people. And, you know, those days you don't hit home runs, man, you got to chalk it up, hopefully learn a little bit something for it and move on. So,
yeah, I mean,
I'm sure not every one of your performances, you know, you feel like you killed it. I'm sure have those.
It's actually funny you mentioned that.
Yeah.
No, for sure. There's definitely times where I'll walk off stage and be like, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I felt the energy.
Yeah.
I could tell. And then there's other times where I'm just like, well, I mean, I guess we'll just move on.
Yeah.
We'll have a short memory on this one.
Yeah, you got to.
If we can.
You got to.
And I'd say it's probably similar here.
Yeah.
You know, but some of those bad experiences can be chalked up to like, well, there was one really drunk person ruining it for everybody.
Right, right,
right,
right, absolutely, you know, so. But.
That is, it's fascinating to, you know, when you spend your when you spend your life interacting with people in such an intimate way, because food is such an intimate thing.
Yeah.
And it's always really fascinated me that dinner or a meal is like the number one, probably always has been, always will be, like first date or dating thing, like, which is, you know, the most intimate thing you can be doing is trying to, you know, find a life partner or whatever, right?
Sure.
And it's such a, it's such a, like, a visceral thing just to be, like,
eating
in front of someone, right?
It's so you may not even really know.
Yeah,
you
know? It freaks me out sometimes when I think about it too much.
Yeah.
You know, you look around a restaurant and you just see everybody like,
Yeah, absolutely. So it is an intimate experience. You know, with us too, having the catering aspect of it, you know, we'll have people come back here, you know, and they'll, you know, I remember from 15, 20 years ago, we had their wedding, or, you know, we christened a new baby. They had a baptism party here or something. And then high school graduation party.
Wow.
I mean, it's just like, you know, people always ask me, I say, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to do the rehearsal dinner. I want to do their wedding. I want to do their christening party. I want to do the sweet 16. I want to do all those events. You know, that's what I feel like is successful in the catering restaurant business. I want them to feel like, hey, Ambrose will take care of. That's who we go to. That's I just don't want to do the wedding and be done with them. You know, I want to build those relationships, you know, much like
part
I'm sure part of life, you know, much like you do, you know, with your performances. You know, you want to connect with people and, oh, I've seen Ryan, you know, every time he comes to town, we got to go see him. You know, you become part of the fabric of their life. And this place, this building.
Yeah, and then vice versa.
Yeah, has become that. And part of that, too, lore is the you know, activity that we have here. Maybe they have experience, you know, maybe they saw a reflection behind them in the mirror, which has happened, you know, or they felt a push in the basement or something like that. They saw something move. Yeah.
That's really cool. Has there ever been a time where you felt like, okay, somebody shifted something up in here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody stirred something up that we aren't necessarily a big, you know, fan of, of happening.
Yeah, that's happened. Yeah, and we used to let people go on those tours and investigate. Not so much teams, but we would, like, you know, guide them. We quit doing that because after that, the last one, we kind of felt like something was off, you know, especially downstairs in the basement. And I just said, you know, it's just not worth it, you know, to that vibe that we got.
Yeah, it jumped over the line of.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the other interesting thing is, you know, the tornado came through here, 2019, took out, you know, all the roof and windows, and we were closed for about a month. We didn't have a whole lot of activity right after that. You know, we've kind of thought, well, I wonder if
that's going to stir things up.
If it's going to stir things up, or if that's going to tap it down. It seemed like it tapped it down. You know, there were some investigations, you know, several months after that were kind of weren't very, didn't produce a lot of evidence, and we were like, well, that's interesting. You know, maybe that, you know, that tornado coming through here, you know, kind of change things, but it now since come back. You know, but I did, because who knows, you know, I mean, the roof blew off, all the windows, you know, we had to replace almost every window.
That has to feel,
yeah,
I mean, if we can, I mean, we can imagine how it feels to be, you know, in that situation when, you know, like a natural disaster like that is happening.
Yeah.
And we understand the feelings and the emotions that are associated with that. And if we are, let's say we're a ghost who hasn't decided to cross over yet or go to the place, you know, it stands to reason that potentially we still have access to and still operate in some of the similar ways we were when we were birthed. Because I do think that our consciousness, our spirit, our soul, whatever people want to call it, really, it truly is the essence of who we are, and our physical bodies kind of, you know, we can access, you know, sensations through it, but it probably scared the hell out of them, whoever was here.
Like, what the heck was that? You know, that'd be curious to, I wonder if there's any, now I'm kind of curious. I mean, has there ever been a natural phenomenon someplace else that's on it And was there an increase or decrease in activity after that?
That is,
you know, I wonder. I don't know. I mean, hurricane. You have places with hurricanes and other tornadoes, but it was a little different after that. Yeah.
Yeah, and.
And it could have been all the construction going on. You know, I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think that it feels. This is going to might sound crazy to some people, but it feels logical that that's what happened.
Yeah.
That the spirit activity settled down after a natural disaster. And I have no reason why I feel
like
that's a logical conclusion. But that is, I remember when those, I've been living in California for about 11 years. And I remember I was in town shortly after that.
Yeah.
The tornadoes.
Oh, yeah.
And it was insanity. I mean, because the tornado was bigger than the tornado in the movie Twister.
Yeah, it was big.
To give people an idea of, you know, just how huge and devastatingly powerful that Twister was that came through here. And it was really wild. I mean, and when you have that much energy coming through and affecting an area, it makes sense that there's no room for any other energy right now.
No.
And it definitely is kind of like just bringing in like an industrial shop vac.
We were so lucky we're still lucky just to be standing here. I mean, so many people lost so much more. I mean, but, you know, the building withstood it, you know, for whatever reason. You know, it came literally right through here, across the highway, and destroyed buildings over there for miles.
Yeah, and then right after that, there was COVID.
There was COVID.
I mean, talk about just electrolyte combo. Right?
Yeah, but you know, hey, you know, we made it. You know,
we made it.
So, yeah.
I think that like when it comes to the, you know, the idea of, you know, having it is interesting too. You said earlier, like, oh, you know, before I knew anything, but now I just let them kind of go do their thing. But it has to be. I mean, I guess somewhat interesting. I mean, even to someone who's not like into the paranormal, when people start showing up at a place. That's your place, and they're like, "Oh, we want to investigate this place." I would be curious as well.
Sure, and I am. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've had a lot of experiences where I've you know, things out of the corner of my eye, or the Addy machine, or one time we were telling ghost stories for lack of a better term downstairs, and the TV cut off. I mean, the TV could just cut off, but it was just, you know, hasn't done it since. You know, I've undoubtedly more times than I remember, we'll have an investigation come in, and then later in that week or in a couple weeks, I'll get an alarm call at 3 o'clock in the morning for the second floor motion detector or the dining room motion detector. And, you know, of course, the alarm's going off, the police are on their way, I'll drive down to meet them, and there's nothing out of place. One time there was the top of the iced tea machine. There's like a cover over the cisterns that holds iced tea. It was about, you know, it was at the front of the building, you know.
Just randomly.
Just sitting there on the floor in the front of the building. And, I mean, that thing hasn't moved ever before that or since.
Just off the
top. And, you know, I'm coming in here with the police. They're looking for signs of entry and, you know, maybe somebody broke a window and climbed in, and I'm like, well, that's out of place. And then that's it. I'm like, you know, did you not like that group that came in? And you got to let me know you're setting the motion detector off so I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows? Those things malfunction. I mean, that's not, you know, proof of anything. I just know.
It is interesting that, you know, there's, you know, correlation isn't causation, I guess, as they say. But – you know, when you start stacking up coincidences, they become synchronicities, that, you know, and then we can derive meaning from them if we choose to. And, I mean, what is life if nothing but a series of events that we get to choose what is meaningful and what is not?
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't know. It feels like a life with more meaning is more enjoyable than a life with less meaning.
Absolutely.
I wonder what the... you know, the general idea down at like at the police station is every time like the Amber Rose alarm goes off, I mean, you know, they're just like, oh, here we go.
Right.
Like, this is not going to be a person.
Right. Because, it, yeah.
It's like the, yeah. It's almost like the restaurant that cries wolf, right?
Right. Yeah, we've had, I mean, literally one real incident in my whole time here, which is, you know, what is it, 20-some years, 24 years?
Yeah.
Going on 25 years. One incident.
Oh, where something, like, broke in?
Yeah.
Or...
yeah, he broke a window and broke in and took a couple bottles of liquor. And, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I was like, I wish he just would have told me, hey, I'm going to break a window and grab a bottle of vodka. I'd have given him the vodka and saved the window.
Yeah, right. I mean,
you know, but yeah, that was it, you know.
Like, living in the city, I like, it's like, lock your door or don't lock your door.
Yeah.
Well, do I want a broken window or not?
Or, right, window? Right. Yeah.
And so now it's like, I don't want a broken window.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it unlocked. And unless there's something, I don't know. But
yeah, I
understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, if you really need the vodka,
I'll give
bad.
It to you. Yeah, you really need a meal, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, I don't have to have a guy come out here or a gal come out here and fix this window. Come
on. Right. So, but yeah, so we're fortunate. But yeah, so yeah, I wonder what the talk is. I should ask the guys next time.
That would be, it'd be interesting to know.
Yeah. So,
because I'm sure there has to be something associated with it other than, especially if it's something that happens, you know, not all the time, but enough to where...
A couple times a year.
A couple, well, that seems pretty often to me.
A couple times a year.
That seems pretty regular.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Now,
it's probably going to happen because I'm talking about it.
You know, that's one
you know,
of those
it
things,
all,
right?
It all lets you know.
You definitely have to let me know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, I was going to ask, do you have, like, indoor security cam?
We
night vision cameras.
We did have indoor cameras, and then with the tornado, we never really set them back up.
And I mean, it's also one of those things where it's obviously it's a security camera.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, it is, you know, most of those security cameras, I think people just really want because they're like, well, maybe we'll pick up something.
Yeah.
But it's also. Not a thing that I mean, I don't know. If I was running a restaurant, I'd be like, oh, do I want cameras inside everywhere?
Well, it's kind of, you know, that was kind of weird because we would have them, they covered like the exits and the registers. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't want to feel like I'm, people to feel like I'm spying
exactly,
on them.
Exactly.
But
what
you did say is when there would be incidents or something, the staff would run up and rewind it and look and they might see like an orb or something.
Oh, okay.
They have, I think there might be some footage on YouTube years ago that shows some of the security camera images they picked up back when we had them working.
Is that is an interesting, and the orbs is such a huge area of like controversial debate.
I don't know, man.
World.
Yeah, I don't know.
And for me it is okay, well, when do those orbs happen?
Yeah,
how often do they show up, and what was occurring at the moment that those orbs showed up?
Right.
Because if something was something really weird was happening and a bunch of orbs or an orb shows up, and then it, okay, well, there might be significance here.
Right.
There could be something to it.
Yeah.
Now, has there ever been a moment where you've considered, and I think I already know the answer to this, but have you ever considered having somebody come in and just clean the place out?
No. No, I mean, really, really not. And then especially after I had that conversation with the gentleman who was part of the investigation, he said, you know, she was afraid that I'd want to make her leave. And I'm like, you know, she's probably more entitled to the space than I am, you know, on some level. So, you know, why, she's not, she, it's not, you know, I tell people it's not scary, it's mischievous. You know, I've, like I said, I've never been scared, never felt a bad vibe, you know. I've definitely been creeped out a couple times, but, yeah, I would never want her or whoever's here, in my opinion, to feel like they have to go, you know, because who am I to...
You know, the metaphysical evictor.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I got enough on my plate. I can't. I don't want to deal with that too. You know, like, I'm worrying about getting some cabbage rolls done. You guys want to hang out in the attic or the basement? You go for it. You know,
evicting people from the astral plane.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's funny. Well, I mean, the place is great, and you know, it's got all the makings of like that perfect location. I mean, it's you know, there's it's cavernous. It's got all the nooks and the crannies. It's got the hardwood floors. You know, it's and it, and I bet it gets damn dark in here. At night. And let's make sure people understand, like, what's the, you know, like, when it comes to the Amber Rose, like, they want to come here for dinner and everything. It's like, let's, you know, what's, the, you know, the rock star, you know, menu item that, other than the ghosts, if you had to say this place is known for
something. We're known for, we're Eastern European. We're known for our cabbage rolls, our German food, our schnitzels. So it's definitely not your everyday restaurant fare, but, and we do have some of those things if you're not into being adventurous, but our schnitzels are great, our sausages, like I said, you know, we make about 300 or 400 cabbage rolls by hand every week, and pierogies and all that kind of
stuff.
Who
doesn't love a pierogi?
I mean, they're really good, you know. I mean, carb up, babe, you know,
carb load. You got a carb load for the winter.
Exactly. You have to. So
and I also love cabbage rolls. I also you know, cabbage rolls, I tell people that, like, they're more than just the meal you're supposed to have on January 1st.
Because
we would always go to my grandparents' house and make sure we had cabbage rolls, cabbage on January 1st for the new year, to have to have luck for the new year. And which is that's a tradition I should be doing when I'm back in California. I should start doing that. You know, we'd I'd always enjoy that. Going over there and doing that. But what a cool place.
Thank you.
And and what's the website?
TheAmberRose.com.
TheAmberRose.com.
Just like the Ohio State.
Now, the Amber Rose is in the restaurant playoff championship.
Exactly.
The now, do you have? I didn't see down in the bar area. Like, there's not like a flat screen down there, is there?
We got one TV over the bar, but it's not really.
So you can come here and not worry about being overwhelmed by, like, Sports Mania flat screen LEDs everywhere.
No, there's one over the bar in case there's, you know, a UD basketball game on of interest, or, you know, we'll put sports on there. I mean, heck, sometimes there's Jeopardy on there, you know, so whoever.
So you can actually come here and have a nice meal and a conversation.
There's no volume to it, you know, we don't have the volume up. So, but, you know, it's good to have a TV.
And do people reach out through the website as well if they're interested in doing investigations?
Yeah, you can. There's a through the website, you can send us an email and we'll get those.
And I
don't reach out through Facebook, because Lisa monitors the Facebook and she'll just email me. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. And that definitely was a person made that noise over there.
Somebody opened the door over there.
I was going to say, that was a really loud. That was a really loud one, if not. But, well, Joe, this has been great.
Cool.
This
Thank
has been
you.
Fun. Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, anytime.
I appreciate it. And, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Just a reminder, patreon.com/RyanSinger. That's where you can go get it without the ads. By the time you're listening to this, I'm not sure. I've definitely 100% already been at Wiley's, which was the 9th and 10th of December, Mason City Limits, New Year's Eve weekend in Mason City, Illinois. And then look for tour dates in 2023. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
2023.
I know.
Holy shit, as a guy who's class of 94, you're class of 88.
88, yeah.
Wow. I mean.
Yeah, so that'll be a reunion.
You're coming up on 45.
Wow, no way.
Did I just do that math that quick?
That's really impressive.
No. 45 would be 33.
It's 35.
35. Okay. We saved you a decade.
God, thank goodness.
Saved you a decade. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, we don't have to talk about that. Yeah. But also, and if you haven't watched The Supernatural, it's free on YouTube right now. Thank you to everybody who's watched it and liked and commented already. Please share that around. It helps me out when people see the comedy special. It's doing great, so thank you already if you've already watched. And other than that, you know, I'll see you at a live show somewhere or a paranormal investigation. I'm doing the East Tennessee Paracon. That's like next spring. Down outside of Pigeon Forge, I'll be doing a comedy show for the VIP meet and greet. That is the first night of the paranormal conference down there, that mostly is focused on Bigfoot stuff. So so come on down, get a ticket to that, and you can meet Ronnie from Expedition Bigfoot, Ed Brown, all kinds of people are going to be there. And I'll be there telling jokes that hopefully people find funny, because it's always weird in those like abnormal situations.
Yeah.
Outside of a comedy club.
Yeah.
Like, specifically a comedy show.
Yeah.
To get up there and be like, okay, now we're going to tell some jokes. It's usually very bright.
Yeah.
And people are just kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But anyway.
Get some drinks in them first.
Yeah, right.
Man.
Get them lubed up.
Get them lubed up.
This has been great. Thanks again, buddy.
Anytime. Thank you.
Go Falcons.
Go Falcons.